one more time.
Wow. I'm losing sleep.
Why are you losing sleep? It's okay, bro.
Hello, fine. Captain, my captain.
Hello. Hello. Long time no see.
Yes.
Long time no see. It's good to see you again.
Great seeing you.
Great. Happy to have you. Welcome to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. I am your facilitator, Martin Ferretti. We have gathered here today. To talk about my anger, Nick. That's what we're gathering to talk about.
Anger.
Let me tell you a story, Nick.
Feel free.
I'm going to tell you a story. So I didn't go to work on Monday because this past weekend was C2E2.
Mm-hmm. Do tell.
But I did go to work yesterday. And yesterday was fine. It was good. It was actually a really good work day. I was very productive.
Oh, that's good.
Very still drunk, I think.
Uh-oh.
But very productive. No problems. Today I go to work. Extremely productive. Probably the most productive I've been in months.
Dang.
But then something happened.
Uh-oh. Was it C2E2 flashbacks? Was it con crud?
It was not. Let me tell you what happened. About halfway through the day, I say to myself, self, I think it's time to go to the bathroom and take a pee-pee.
Uh-oh.
So I go to the bathroom to try to take a pee-pee.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens?
Did you have a shat as well as a pee-pee?
I did not. I just had the pee-pee.
Well, that's why the shat would be an unexpected poopy.
That's true. Little known fact, by the way. I can only poop in my bathroom.
What?
Yes.
You didn't poop the entire time at C2E2?
No, but buddy, let me tell you, Monday when I got home, holy moly!
Man, you poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I'm more apt to poop anywhere but my bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I'm the most comfortable in my bathroom, but I will go anywhere, including C2E2. First floor toilets. Hello. Welcome. Were they gross? Yes. Was I hovering like I was trying to place a hard-boiled egg into a cup with my bottom? Yes, absolutely. Mm,
that's rough.
But did I leave it horrible for the next person? Yes, absolutely.
I'm glad. That's why you're a professional, because you're setting up this story.
Of my
anger.
All right, you went pee-pee. You're in.
No, I'm not in.
A urinal?
I'm walking to the bathroom.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Did
you have a greasy fart?
Nope. I gotta open the door. Door does not open.
What?
Door does not open.
To the toilet stall or to the bathroom itself?
To the bathroom.
What? Is this just like a one-sitter, or is this multiple urinals and toilets in a bathroom?
It's a one-sitter. There's two on that floor.
Oh, my God. All one-sitters?
Yes.
Man, you're in a small little company space.
Yes.
Dang. Did you promptly grab a hold of the doorknob and shake it so the other person inside is like, ooh, I got to hurry up?
So that's what I'm thinking, right? So I knock. But very courteously. Like, I was upset that they would lock the door, right? I understand. Like, if you got to go, you got to go. You know what I mean? You're going to lock the door. But I really had to pee.
And I also wouldn't want you going in there if there's only a urinal and a toilet while I'm in there doing my business. I would lock that door, too.
All right. Fair enough.
But it's very aggressive of you to knock. That's impressive.
I got to pee.
Well, yeah, but there's another restroom right down the hall.
Well, that's the ladies.
Okay.
All right. So I'm like, all right, someone's going number two. Let me just knock on the door. That way, like, they know, you know what I mean? Like, there's somebody outside. I should kind of hurry my business so I can be courteous enough to let the next person use the restroom.
Very true.
Well, I knock on the door. Nothing. I said, well, that's weird. I knock on the door again. Nothing. I was like, you know what? I'll give them a couple seconds. Maybe they're in the middle of pushing hard or something. You know what I mean? You never know what's going on in there.
Is this usual protocol, office protocol?
Like, if I have to go, yeah.
No, I'm saying if you're sitting in if situation was reversed, do you normally get a knock or does somebody rudely grab a hold of the handle and jiggle it to let you know, hey, I need to get in there?
Well, no, you see, like a knock, I think is proper etiquette, right? You're like,
sure.
Hey, knock, knock, like I'm here, just so you know, if you can push a little harder.
But do you also respond when you get the knock?
Yes, I do.
Do you do it as your usual answer or your usual response to me whenever you're leaving me voicemail?
Hello!
Hello!
Is your fan calling? That's from, I think it's from Mad TV. I can't remember.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think it was Miss Swan. Yeah, I think it was Miss Swan. You remember Miss Swan from Mad TV?
I never watched an episode.
Are you serious? Dude, you got to look up, what was his name, Stewart. Go on YouTube and look up clips of Stewart from Mad TV. It is hilarious.
All right.
All right.
But if you were reversed and somebody knocked, would you be like, just a minute? What would your response be?
Or would
just be silence like this guy's giving you?
I'd just be like, just 1 second, I'll be right out. Right? So they're extending the courtesy of telling me, like, hey, I also have to go. So I'm going to extend the courtesy back and say, hey, I understand that you need to relieve yourself. I'll be as quick as possible.
And but no one would actually respond with the, it's going to be about 30 minutes. I'm dropping the kids off at the pool.
Well, God forbid not.
Or I'm in here reading a Jack Kerouac novel.
I don't know, man. I read those pretty quick.
But still, longer than what you need at this point.
Sure.
You have to go pee-pee.
So I knock a second time, nothing. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a few seconds.
Yes.
I give it a few seconds, nothing.
Mm.
I say, well, this is weird. So I'm looking around. I was like, maybe there's nobody in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I start jiggling the door and nothing. Because, see, I don't know what your reaction would be if somebody jiggled on the door. But I know my reaction when someone jiggles on the door is I get angry. That's why I expect a knock first. So if somebody jiggled on the door, I would say, whoa, bro, 1 second. You know what I mean?
No, like, my response is always exactly the same. It's either exactly how they respond to me, because we always had a cleaning woman at my previous job. Mm. And it seems like as soon as I set my tushy down on, ooh, is this toilet talk? A segment that I've wanted to do for a year now.
Of course.
I like it. You backed your way right into my trap. But we had this fabulous Romanian cleaning woman that as soon as my tushy hit the toilet bowl, and granted, I'm going poopy sometimes 3 times a day while I'm at work.
Wow.
Hey, I'm there, you know, 12 hours.
That's
what the
good,
hell?
Man. You're regular.
Oh, I'm flowing.
It's a lot of fiber in your diet.
Hell yeah. So as soon as my tushy hits that toilet seat, all of a sudden you'd hear, hello? And I would always be like, there'd be a little bit of a pause because I know, you know, hey, it's a woman coming into a man's bathroom. That's got to be awkward in itself.
Mm.
So there's a long pregnant pause as long as you could lean your head back and do a deep sigh because it's always like, motherfucker. Fucker, she's coming in again. But as soon as she does the hello, I always go hello. But whenever somebody jiggles, if it was a one-seater and I got the jiggle or the knock, my only response has ever been occupied. I never give a timetable because, buddy, I could be in there 20 minutes.
Oh,
but I do speed it up for the cleaning woman, or if I get the jiggle, it will be like, oh shit, got to do my business and get out.
See, I never have that problem because if I need to go number two, it's,
you're at home.
Dude, it's quick.
But you're always at home, you said.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But still, even at home, it's quick.
Wow.
Like, I don't keep magazines or comics in the bathroom because I don't have time to read them in there.
Oh man, I have shitter reads. Are you kidding me?
Dude, it takes me longer to wash my hands than to go poop.
Wow. Way to go.
It's fast.
Dang.
Yeah.
Impressive.
So what happened?
This person, like, did he keel over and die on the pooper?
Well, so that's my next thing. I'm like, well, shit, did somebody go in the bathroom and, like, knock their head on the toilet and pass out? Like, what the hell is going on?
You're painting yourself your own little drama right now.
Yeah. My imagination's going wild at this point.
So, or could it be Joan and Harry down the hall?
Well, actually, and the reason I always think that's my first reaction when somebody doesn't reply.
Afternoon light.
I don't know if I told you the story. So when my mom was pregnant with me, apparently my dad used to get really bad migraines. And apparently one day he went to go pee, had a massive migraine as he's peeing, and passed out, like literally blacked out peeing.
Oh my God.
And knocked his face on the toilet seat. So my dad's got like a hump on his nose.
Wow.
Yeah, he broke the little nose bone right there.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like huge, but you can tell.
Still.
Yeah, so every time like somebody is locked in a bathroom, my first reaction is always like, holy shit, they passed out, knocked their head on the toilet and passed out.
Mm.
Alright. So
I always go to Afternoon Delight. That's or some guy saw Joan in her cubicle and just, he's such a fucking animal, he has to go into the bathroom and drop a load.
Mm. So that's not it. So I'm like, right, you know what? I'm going to see if I can get a key for this thing. Maybe there's somebody passed out in there.
Oh, my God.
Right? So I try to go. Well, I mean, we don't keep it locked, right? Because, I mean, you're going to lock it from the inside.
Sure.
So I'm trying to find the key. Guess what? Nobody knows where the fucking key is.
Do you not have another floor you can go and do your business on?
I mean, I could.
The only bathroom?
I could. But right now, there are two concerns. Concern number one, somebody's very passed focused out on the toilet. Number two, I'm about to pee on myself. So I try to find this key. I can't find the key. So I'm like, look, I'm going in the ladies' room. So I go in the ladies' room. I do my business. In and out, super quick. And then I go back in search of the key. Cannot find the key. Nobody knows where the key is. Apparently, nobody has seen it.
Oh, no.
There will be a twist later.
Oh.
But nobody has seen the key.
Okay.
So what do we have to do? We need to get this bathroom open. So we call a locksmith.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, my boss is like, call a locksmith. I said, all right. So I call a locksmith.
Now, is this door one of those doors that you could lock and then close? And then it stays locked? You know what I'm saying? Could that have happened? Like a coworker used it.
Yes.
While they're walking out, they accidentally locked it and then closed it.
Yeah, it took me a second to remember what the inside of the door looked like. Yes. Yes, you can.
Well, okay, so that possibly could have happened.
Very possible. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened.
Oh, no.
Let's continue the saga.
Sure.
So we called the locksmith, okay? And locksmith shows up, gets the door open, no problem. Go inside. There's nobody in the bathroom.
The mystery.
I'm like, what the fuck? There's nobody in here. And then, Nick, it hits me. Literally in the face. The rotten stench of hours-old poo. So I go and look in the toilet. Sure enough, not only is it full of shit.
Did they take an upper decker?
It is loaded with paper towels.
Oh, no. But
loaded.
No upper decker.
No upper decker.
Oh, thank God. So somebody took a rancid poo and then decided, I'm going to close and lock this door to air this thing out. No one will know. It's me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets better.
And then did your boss finally cop to it?
Well,
that was
no.
My epic poo. How did you like it?
This is part of the twist.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
It gets better. So I'm like, God damn it. Somebody took a shit and didn't flush.
Wait, hold on. Did I miss part of the story of how you got that door open? Was it really the locksmith?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The locksmith.
How much did that cost?
I don't know. $40.
Oh, okay. That wasn't
bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not paying for it, so I don't care.
Yeah, of course. I just didn't want the story to end with, and it cost $250 to
sure.
open up that dumb restroom.
Sure. So I'm thinking to myself, some nasty mother effer in here took a shit, didn't
Did you
flush.
You line up everyone like the usual customer?
Oh, we're getting there.
Oh, no.
Didn't flush. And not only that, didn't even use toilet paper. Like, number one.
You said there was toilet paper, just tons of it.
No, paper towels.
Paper Paper towels?
Paper towels!
Who the hell is quitting your company?
So I will say this. We do have, no pun intended, very shitty toilet paper.
But still, even the thinnest toilet paper. Okay. Oh my, you have to finish your story, but I have to ask
oh,
you.
Oh, keep asking.
You can either finish the story or I have to ask you about paper, toilet paper right now. Oh my God.
Listen, the listener is intrigued by this mystery.
It is very much a mystery. Go on.
No, go ahead. No, that's what I'm saying. They can wait. We're developing this mystery here.
Okay. Toilet paper usage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go by the amount of sheets? Like, what, on average, how many sheets do you use?
Oh, man, I'd have to think about this. Well, you do got to remember.
Well, I would hope you would think about it. It's not like a number that you write down and put in your back pocket.
No, but I feel like if I think about it, I feel like it's always, like, the same number of sheets.
Mm.
Like, it just feels like it's the same number of sheets.
I would expect no less from you, Martin. Go on.
You know? I mean, like, you gotta remember, I use a bidet.
I use the same number of sheets. I'm just waiting for your answer.
Sure. I use a bidet, so it doesn't take a lot.
I know. You're so fancy. I love it.
I would say, like, it can't be more than, like, 8 or 10 sheets.
I would think so, because the bidet takes care of the majority of that.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a bidet, okay, before I give you the answer of this, here's another tangent. Welcome to Nerdy Legion, Legionnaires, the podcast for tangents.
This is our C2E2 special.
Now, as we go into Hooper, now if your work bathroom had a bidet in it, would you do a poopy there?
Interesting. That is a question I have never thought the answer for.
Welcome to Nerdy Legion.
Huh. If we had a bidet, would I use it there? Yeah, maybe.
Okay, because I know some people that just get skeeved out from public restrooms, so I totally get it.
Yeah, my thing is like more the
most they would act, other than like family members, the most, I'm thinking of one of my buddies right now, the most public restrooms he'll do a poopy in is his work office because he knows the cleaning staff. So he knows that it constantly gets cleaned.
Yes.
But like if we were in, okay, I won't name the guy, but if we were sitting in Denny's and ordered Moons Over My Hammies and he had to go poopy, he would not excuse himself and drop a Judd Hirsch into the toilet.
Mm.
He would hold on to that until he's in so much pain by the time he drove downtown Chicago. He barely could make it into his condo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is no one we know, of course.
No one you've been introduced to. But Gundy knows this person.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking it was Gundy.
Oh, it is Gundy. No, Gundy's pretty free-forming. I don't think he has as many hang-ups as I do or my other buddy.
Gotcha.
But he's actually, when we've actually met at the Denny's, and he's driven to go to Chicago compared to his previous office is about 10 minutes. It's like 30 minutes one way, or into Chicago is about 40 minutes. He's actually driven all the way to the opposite way from Chicago, where he lives, all the way back to his office to take a poop.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't think he could make it another 10 minutes.
Hey, so that's the way it goes.
Absolutely. That's why I had to ask you about the bidet, because I would think that would sort of help mentally.
Yeah, the bidet would help. I mean, like, if I had to – it's not like I haven't gone in the office. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to go, I'm not going to be like, I got to run home so I can poop.
Right.
Because I know that it's cleaned regularly, right?
Unless you're Mike Myers and you live 5 minutes away. Then you might go home.
Then maybe. But like a rest stop toilet or like a gas station toilet? No, ma'am.
Been there, done that.
Not doing that.
Been there, done that. Okay, now back to the toilet paper sheets.
Yes, the toilet paper sheets.
This is my amount, and it's the same exact amount every time.
Mm.
Draw a circle, and then right next to it, draw another circle. And that's how much I use.
Interesting.
I use infinity. I I might as well walk around with a toilet plunger in my back pocket. The amount of toilets I've clogged in my lifetime. My sister-in-law, she actually, for Christmas, gave me a personalized toilet plunger for a Christmas present. Because I clogged up her toilet multiple times, as well as my mother-in-law's toilet multiple times. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you are, if you're a folder of the toilet paper.
I am.
Oh, see, I'm a catcher's mitt.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
See, I know people that are wrappers.
They wrap it around their
hand.
Yeah, but that wastes 50% of that toilet paper.
I agree.
That's why I catcher mitt it.
Mm, I like it. That's good. Catcher mitt. Okay.
It's a big ball. Do I need to do that? No. Should I get a bidet and stop all this? Yes, absolutely.
Mm, interesting.
And when I get out of this little Mickey Mouse townhome that I'm in and I move into a bigger place, maybe I will finally get my bidet. A boy has to be able to dream.
I hear you. Well, see, it's like I only use the hallway bathroom here. Because it has the, as I've told you before, the normal size toilet, as I like to say.
Mm.
Unlike the one in the master bedroom or the one upstairs that has what I like to call the little person lady toilet.
The quote unquote green for the environment toilet?
No, I don't think they're green. They're just tiny. Like they definitely sit, I mean, dude, I'm going to say at least 4 inches, if not more, lower than the one in the hallway.
And how much is it per flush? Is it the same amount?
I think they're all the same amount. I don't know how much water's flushed in a toilet. It's a couple gallons, right?
But they all say on the back, on like the back of the bowl, it says.
Oh, well, let me go pull my bowl out and check. I don't know. I bet you
anything it's for the environment. I bet you anything like the big bowl probably is 2 gallons a flush, and I bet you anything the other one is probably like 1.4 or 1.7.
Probably.
I bet you dimes to donuts.
All I know is the hallway one is it sits at a comfortable height,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't need to worry about it. And I know that the seat is wider, so I can sit on it, and I don't have to hit my testicles on the damn seat. You know what I mean? You know, you ever have that happen?
You mean drop them into the water? Yes, I've had
that. Yeah. Or like you sit down.
Seats?
Dude, let me tell you. The toilet in the master bedroom, if I sit in it, it's like a ball rest on the front.
Where?
On the front. Like,
you mean,
there's not even room for me to like tuck and duck.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean? Like your pee-pee is leaning up against the...
Like on top of the seat.
Of the bowl?
On top of the seat.
Yeah, but then you'd be peeing out where
on the floor.
Right.
Right. That's why I don't use that bathroom.
See, you know what I've found? Because I've had the dip in as well as like hitting the part in the... When you're sitting down in front of you, between your legs. I've had my junk or the twins hit that area.
Mm-hmm.
Which is disgusting because you know that area isn't wiped down, especially in public.
Mm-hmm.
But now I found you take out 3 or 4 sheets of paper, boop, right there.
Mm.
As a little like bib. It's like a little pee-pee bib. That's right. Toilet talk. Hello.
Oh, man. So
Sorry, ladies.
Sorry, ladies. I know we've just alienated half of our audience.
Or maybe they find it fascinating. When my wife, I think I told you this before, my wife accidentally went into a men's room
once,
and she was absolutely fascinated by a urinal.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's like
didn't
that movie.
Didn't understand what the hell that was, didn't even get, like, it was like, what was it, Kingpin? Was it Kingpin or Dumb and Dumber? Where he's turned around and he's taken a poop in
the urinal. That's right.
Yeah, she had no clue what the hell that was.
That's
she had
hilarious.
No clue what that part that came out was for. And I had to explain it to her. And then she's like, well, it's not like I'm going on the internet looking up guys' urinals.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, you're right. Why would you? I might, because I'm a dirty boy, but she's a nice girl.
That's, what was that British movie? Oh, God. There was a British movie, and there's one scene.
Dover River Quiet.
What is it?
Dover River Quiet? David Lean?
No. There's one scene where they're at a bar, and all the ladies have to go pee, and the ladies' room is full, so they go in the men's room because it's empty. And there's only one toilet, so the rest of them just pee on the urinal. But they're like doing it backwards, like in Dumb and Dumber. Yeah.
That's cool.
Let's continue.
No, I never saw that.
The caper of the boudoir. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So we're in. We're looking around. We find this goddamn shit on the toilet. And it's,
but just to let you know, yes. Before we go any further, mm-hmm. I have to know, have you ever used hand towels as toilet paper?
No, but
it's
like,
one thing if there is no toilet paper. Like, I can't blame the person if there was no toilet paper. Yes, you got to use something.
Oh, hand towel, like old school hand towel, like cloth hand towel.
Paper towels, yeah.
Oh, paper towels. I mean, I've used like cotton towels.
Well, whatever this person used at work, I'm guessing that they were hand towels, paper towels,
paper towels, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was no way that was in the toilet.
It was not.
That's what I'm saying. Have you ever used that as toilet paper?
No.
Right. We're not animals. Correct. Why the hell would you ever do that unless you absolutely wanted to clog up a toilet?
Correct.
Yeah.
So disgusting. My imagination starts flowing again.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, why would somebody use paper towels
right. To
wipe their bum?
Because there was toilet paper in there, right?
Well, and so that was my first instinct. I looked around, and sure enough, right next to the damn toilet, there's toilet paper.
Unbelievable. Okay?
It's not in the roll.
Who cares?
Some other idiot must have knocked it off the roll, because it was like off on the side, on the floor.
Ooh, that's a rough. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yes.
How much toilet paper are you unraveling before you're putting that on your bum? In a public restroom like that.
Oh, in a public restroom?
Yes.
I mean, if I did do that, at least a couple spins, man.
I am doing at least three catcher's mitt full. Or if, and I've run into this situation where you start debating, am I going to run out of toilet paper? Because this is the only toilet roll. By the time I spin off and feel comfortable enough, will I still have enough toilet paper left on this one lone roll to do my business? I would rather like to take off a sock and use that. I am ready to vomit. If that thing is on the floor, oh my God. I would really like to rub my bottom on the floor to clean that. Oh my God.
So that's what I'm thinking, right? Like, this person had to go. They saw the toilet paper on the floor. They're like, yes. I'm not using that. I'm going to use paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
Except my next assumption is they misjudged the amount of sticky icky in their bum. And so they used way more paper towels than they should have used. Cause I mean, I don't know the intricacies of the way a toilet works. I mean, I know the basic premise, but my assumption is you can probably still use like a couple paper towels and not clog it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's my assumption. Sure. But this is not like a couple. This is like almost to the top of the goddamn bowl.
Wow. Okay. If you were in that situation, I already know what I would do. And that is lay down a couple paper towels. Once I threw a couple, but okay. Actually, I know I'll give you an A and B scenario because I know exactly what I would do. I would, like you said, wipe your bottom with two paper towels and then flush. Who the fuck cares if you're flushing 15 times? You ain't paying for that water.
Yeah.
It's better to do that than fill up the entire bowl. Or if you're worried about that, or like you flush two down and you sort of get that half the bowl, the water starts raising up and then all of a sudden it shoots through like, oh shit, it almost got stuck. Then I would be laying out a couple paper towels, piling up all the dirty paper towels on said two paper towels, and then throwing that into the garbage can that's outside.
Fair enough.
You don't throw a dozen paper towels, dirty paper towels, into a toilet.
Correct.
Bowl,
correct.
Expect them to go down. That is effing insane, person.
Well, what they could have done is used as many paper towels as they want, but instead of putting them in the toilet, you throw them in the trash can. And then
that's what I'm saying.
And on your way out, you take the bag with you so that there's not a trash can full of poopy paper towels. Oh, episode title.
Duty paper towels. Yucky. No, no.
So, I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Yes.
Common sense.
Or guess what? You can pile them up, walk out with them, and throw them in one of your, plastic bags that you get at a grocery store that I'm sure is in everyone's desk.
Sure.
Like, give me a that is insane to throw 20 paper towels into a toilet
here,
bowl
here,
and expect them to go down.
Here's another suggestion. Oh, I look around. Toilet paper's on the floor. I don't want to put that on my bum. Mm-hmm. What do I do? How about you can text Martin and be like, hey, I hate to do this to you, but is there any way you can bring me a roll of toilet paper to the bathroom? I mean, that's all right. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to get mad at that.
Of course, Martin would bring 5 friends along with him to hand over that paper towel, to hand over toilet paper.
But we do that at the house all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I got news for you. If I was in that situation, I would never use paper towels. And if I ran, let's say you already know I'm ripping off a catcher mitt full of toilet paper, but let's say you ran completely out of toilet paper. I would rather like to pull up my pants and walk out with a dirty butt and then find toilet paper, Kleenex, whatever the fuck I had to.
Mm.
I would never think to use a hand towel or paper towels.
Mm. Yes.
That just, God, it's never going to flush.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is too, if you're that dirty and you need to, if you had to use paper towels and your butt's that dirty, you know what you could do is you could take a couple paper towels, wet them, and that'll get rid of most of the junk. Then you don't even need that many paper towels.
Yes, for sure.
But it gets better.
Oh, God. Continue with this mystery.
So my mind is flowing with ideas on what the hell has happened here. Okay, I go into detective mode because, it's Batman's 80th anniversary. So
yes.
I'm in full detective mode.
What would Bruce Wayne do?
All month until May when it's actually the 80th anniversary.
That's why you thought to yourself, WWBWD.
Yes, exactly. That's also a good episode title.
Thank you.
So, man, it's going to be tough picking an episode title this time. So I'm like, all right, maybe we can figure this toilet thing out. But I'm still confused as to how the door was locked. And there was nobody inside, right? And so automatically my assumption is, this is not when I'm angry yet. Like, I'm a little ticked off that somebody just shit all over the place. Yeah. But I'm not really that mad. This is when I get angry.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, all right, so somebody pooped, they clogged the toilet, they were ashamed, they didn't want to be like, hey, there's 3,000 pounds of toilet paper in this toilet, can we call a plumber, whatever, like... I understand, right? Like, most people don't have that kind of moxie, as we say. Okay, balls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Balls.
That's a rough day for the cleaning crew. Too.
Sure. But then you know what? We're still talking about etiquette here. That would probably be pretty good etiquette. You know what I'm saying? And nobody would probably even go in there, right? You come out, and you're like, hey, I used the restroom. It's clogged. We might need to call a plumber. Nobody use it. I mean, I've done that, but there's no shame in my game.
Did you have a Three's Company situation happen after the locksmith where he unlocks the door, you sign for it, he walks away, you go in, see this hazard material all over the place, and then you start walking out, and then there's Earl walking into the bathroom, as you're like, no, that wasn't me! And then he gives you a look like, I'm sure it wasn't me. Wink, wink.
Uh-huh. Well, see, and that's the other thing. You don't even have to own up to it if you're that ashamed, right? Mm-hmm. You can just, you can pretend, right? You can get up, and you can walk to the bathroom, and be like, oh, ho, ho, super loud, so everyone hears you. right? And then come out and be like, hey guys, somebody clogged the toilet. You know what I mean?
Like, there's a natural, an unnatural disaster in this toilet.
There are ways around this where you don't have to feel shame. But none of this happened.
Yeah.
But this is where I got mad.
Or guess what? If you really did do it and you're ashamed of it, let's say it was your employee. I would feel nothing to come up to my boss and be like, I didn't do this, but I want to let you know I went into the bathroom to use it and I saw just a disaster. And then pretty much just drop that horrible situation on my boss and like, don't know what you're going to do about it. Bye.
So, but when I get mad is not the toilet full of crap. Wait, let's start from the beginning. Not from when I had to knock on the door or jiggle the door handle or call a locksmith or walk into a giant stench hit me in the face or seeing the toilet clogged or 3,000 pounds of toilet paper. When I got mad is when I look over. What do I see on the sink of the toilet, Nick? Take a guess as to what I saw.
Detective issue 1000.
Oh, man. I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to assume it's a good one. That is not it.
Did you see Bill Moyer's Joseph Campbell book? You're like, son of a bitch. He's a listener, too. Son of a bitch.
Oh, man. Nope. What I see is the key to the goddamn bathroom.
Oh, that's the one thing I never expected. Oh my god, that's the best. Oh my god. Who is the idiot that put the key in there? Oh my god.
So my mind starts racing again. Because the key is never in the bathroom. Mm. Nor is it anywhere near the bathroom. Mm. So whoever did this already knew they were going to blow this up. They may have not have realized about the toilet paper, but they were fully intent on dropping a massive deuce and then pretending like it never happened. So they went, grabbed the key to make sure nobody would know that the bathroom was clogged.
I think you're giving this person a lot less credit than they deserve.
No, I'm giving him a lot of credit. This person is a poopy mastermind.
No, I'm saying I think that they completely planned this. I think they wanted to drop this terrible deuce. I worked at a place that actually had somebody do the do into the toilet bowl, take a paper towels and grab up said feces and then wipe it all over the toilet, the entire like little area.
Mm, yes.
There's a lot of disgruntled employees out there.
There are.
And boys are gross.
That's true.
I feel bad, and you didn't even touch on this. I feel bad for the one person that sits the closest to that restroom and has to smell that terrible smell. That poor man or woman who has to sit right there. And you didn't even touch on that. That poor person.
No, nobody's near that room.
Because I would be like, Martin, I'm gone for the day. I'm out. I'm going to vomit right now.
No, there's a storage area to the side of where we're at. And so you actually have to come out of like the main floor. You go through a door and there's like this giant storage area. I mean, it's like it stretches the entire width of the floor. And then the backside is the two restrooms.
Now, where's the key usually kept?
The key is usually kept up at the front.
Wow, so this person is a mastermind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Poopy mastermind.
Wow.
Poopy mastermind. So then I get really fucking angry because they planned this. And see, the thing is, we haven't had this exact situation, but over the past, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks, we have had to call a plumber to unclog this restroom twice.
Oh my god. So this is a guy who just has graduated to paper towels.
Well, not because of paper towels. This is just like, it was just clogged.
Well, how do you know that they weren't using paper towels? By the time they get it, when a plumber releases that big clog, they're not pulling it into the toilet bowl. They're pushing
it out.
They're
pulling it out. Yes, correct. I don't know. I don't know. You might be right. It's possible.
I think you need to install a camera and monitor this thing.
Well, funny you should say that.
Uh-oh.
So we call a plumber. Plumber comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Takes out. He wanted to show it to me. I was like, I don't want to see it, bro. But he pulls
he's
out
like
the clock.
He's like Martin.
He pulls out the clock.
He knows you by name at this point.
I mean, like, as gross as this is not like he pooped and it was clogged and he wiped and it clogged even more. Like, mm-hmm. this must have been like a multi-stage process of poo.
God.
Because after he pulled this giant pile of paper towels and poo, he stuck his little thing in there and pulled out a clump.
What? Like a the guy who pooped had like a cork butt? What's going on?
I mean, I guess, dude. Maybe he was at C2E2 and didn't poop for 3 days. I don't know.
Oh, that poor guy.
I will say it was not me that clogged this toilet.
Are you sure?
I am 100% positive.
Because you know a lot of these details.
Because I am on a mission right now. Because after this incident, I said to myself, self, we need to find the poopy bandit. And when I find this person, I'm going to fire their ass.
Nice.
Because my assumption is it's the same person that clogged the restroom the other two times.
I guarantee it.
And while, of course, there would not be a camera inside the bathroom.
There could be.
There is a camera at that door that separates the main floor from this back room.
Ooh, okay.
So it'd be very simple to figure out who went in there before I did.
Yeah.
And was that person there as well the other two times when the plumber had to be called?
I think you need to do some Scooby-Doo investigation now.
So my task for tomorrow is not to do any work.
Yeah.
But to find the poopy bandit.
This sounds better than reading comic books. I like it. I approve of this.
Coming soon to Geek Brunch Comics, the poopy bandit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Arrest that man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have an idea of and I don't want names, of course, but do you have an idea of, like, those two people are pretty disgruntled. They don't seem like they're having too much fun here anymore.
I mean, there's always suspects. You know what I mean?
Okay. Just curious. Because boys will, if they want to lash out, they will be either very aggressive or very passive aggressive.
But, well, so I will say this. I don't think anyone there is as disgruntled as yours truly.
Well, come on. Don't put yourself above. I mean, I, at my, not my last job, but my previous job, I went into the handicap stall, and you know how big a handicap stall
is? Sure.
Pretty damn big.
Yeah.
Pretty damn big. And somebody, some dude, actually popped a squat in the complete opposite corner and pooed like it was a dog pile. It was like perfectly placed. It looked like a Hershey Kiss. It was not just one log, it was an entire pile. So boys can do some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's possible. It's very possible.
For sure.
So so we'll see.
I mean, the worst thing my wife probably would cop to is, yeah, I flushed a tampon down the toilet, even though there's signs all over the place. Don't put your tampons down the toilet. That, like, that's the worst thing she could ever think to do.
Well, and that's what my wife said. So I tell my
boys
wife the story.
Disgusting.
When my wife got home, I tell her the story. And her first it made me angry. Her first question was, well, do you have a sign that says don't put paper towels in the toilet? And I'm like, why would you have to tell anybody that? It's like when they put on the coffee cups, you know, like, beware, hot. Like, yes, it's coffee. Of course it's hot.
Well, at this point, it might be worth printing out something like that because it's cost your company probably about $200 to have these plumbers come out four times.
Well, and the answer to your question is there are already those signs.
I'm sure. And how many people have written and connected up the letters to make something goofy?
No, nobody.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody. But okay. both restrooms, each one has a sign above the toilet. And there's one on the back of the door.
Jesus Christ.
So if you were an idiot and didn't know not to use paper towels because you were raised in a goddamn barn, then maybe you could read it.
Now, did you see somebody peeking over his cubicle wall?
Nope.
And he had his eyebrows raised, and you saw just the top of his smile.
Nope, but I was looking.
Staring at you while you're walking back, cursing under your breath.
I was looking. After I spoke with the plumber, I looked around, and I was like, huh, whoever did this, not going to be good for you.
Whoever did this terrible smell, somebody should go see a doctor real soon.
Yes.
This sounds like you had a wolf stuck in you for 2 weeks. The only thing that's bad about this entire story is I won't know the end.
Oh, you'll know.
Until next time we record.
Oh, no, I'm going to text you.
Okay. Well, I want to put a pin in it because I want to hear the end of this story.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to text you and tell you. So, yes, for now, that is the end of the Poopy Bandit, but we'll find out more next episode. Stay tuned.
This has been the Hardy Boy Nerdy Legion History of the Week.
But, you know, I looked at when I told everyone, I mean, I didn't, like, use the explicit language I used on this episode because, I mean, I'm at work. I have manners. Sure. But I was looking. When I was saying, I was looking at everybody straight in the eyes. Just to see, see if I can see like a twitch of the eyelid or like a cheek raising up or like somebody looking away. You know what I mean? Like there's tells.
Did your voice get a little bit gruff? And then did somebody look away like your dog looks away whenever your dog accidentally does something bad?
Nope, nobody looked away.
Damn it. All you with poker faces.
I will find this person.
Now, everyone, all you boys, bend over. I'm going to smell your bottom because I'm sure it's like a garbage truck. I'm going to smell your seats when you go outside today because I know you've been farting up a score.
So yeah, that was my exciting new comic book day.
Jiminy Christmas. Mm. And you had all these fantastic comic books you could be reading, and instead, you're dealing with this bullshit.
It's true. It's true.
Hate it.
It's true. I only read a couple. I read Aftershock books, and that's it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, they're very good. I had to read last week's, too, because I didn't read any books last week.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, you were sort of busy.
I was sort of busy. So,
it'd be so nice if you could take a train to Chicago, and then you would have all that time to read.
Well, so I don't think I'm going to drive next year. I might just fly, man.
Because, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I haven't decided yet. I mean, the train's possible. The thing about the train is there's so many stops, man. It's like fucking 20 hours or something.
It's barely quicker than a bus. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's so many stops. And it's not like you're going diagonally to Chicago. You're going either way north or way south.
Yep. But I was fine on the way up. But on the way down, I got home. And, I mean, my leg was killing me. You know, I had surgery on my legs last year.
Yeah.
My leg was killing me, so I sat down and I took my pants off. And
which leg? Your gas pedal leg?
Yeah, or gas pedal leg.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you can't really change that position.
Yep. And I couldn't. I mean, on the way up, I did mostly cruise control because it was. I mean, it's pretty much a straight shot. But on the way back, I couldn't do that because I'm pretty sure I'm convinced that it rains in Indiana. 365 days of the year, because last year when I went, or whatever, 2 years ago when I went, it rained the entire time there and the entire time back through Indiana.
I was born and raised in Indiana, and I will say you're wrong. It snows in Indiana about 30 to 40 days out of the year, and then it rains about 300.
So. Oh, 300. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, you have about 10 days that isn't rainy or snowy, so you're good.
Well, and then this year was the same. I mean, when I got to, like, Indiana, it was raining. And on the way back, it rained all through Indiana.
That's called lake effect rain, lake effect snow.
Sure. Well, and I guess there was, like, that bomb cyclone. I don't know if that hit Indiana, but I'm assuming it, at least part of it did.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right? Because, like, half the Midwest is flooded, so.
Mm-hmm. Did you stop off at Azar's Big Boy to make sure?
I did not.
Oh, man.
I did not. So it was raining, and then on the way up, I mean, I drove, it was mostly through the day, And then I stopped at like midnight and slept till like 7, I think.
At a truck stop?
Yeah, rest stop.
Sure.
And so I drove mostly through the daytime. On the way back, it felt like it got dark faster. I don't even know why. Hmm. So I drove till like 9 or 10, and it was fucking pouring. So I was like, I'm just going to stop now. And I ended up waking up at like 4 in the morning and started driving again.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So I drove mostly through the dark this time, which I think mm-hmm. made it feel longer. Yeah. So, of course, I was using the rain and that, and like I wasn't using cruise control. And then when I got to like North Carolina, there were just state troopers everywhere. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. But yeah, so I get home and I take my pants off and I try to get comfortable, get in my PJs.
Yeah.
And I pulled my pants off and dude, my leg was fucking gigantic.
Really?
Yeah.
Swollen?
It was just like a solid mass, like from my thigh down.
Was it discolored?
No, it wasn't discolored. It was just swollen.
Okay. Oof. God.
Yeah.
Dang.
I think, I talked to somebody at work recently had, surgery because I have high arches on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had high arches and apparently there's like arch collapse syndrome where like if you have really high arches, the bones in the arch can collapse.
Wow.
And it can cut off circulation and stuff. So I'm wondering if I don't need to sue this fucking doctor that I had last year because I had the surgery and that's not what the problem is.
Wow.
So
yeah, you might want to look into that.
I'm thinking maybe it's arch collapse. My wife is so excited. She's like, well, why don't you go see the doctor? And I was like, I don't want to talk to that fucking doctor. They didn't fucking do anything. And she's like, well, you should talk to the doctor and maybe they can figure it out. I was like, I don't know. I'll think about it. And she's like, you can file disability and then you can just stay at home and read comics. And I was
hell
like,
yeah.
No, what'd she say? She said, I can't remember. Something about disability. And I was like, that sounds fucking terrible. And she's like, well, that means that you get paid to not work. Which means you can just read comics. And I was like, that sounds really fucking awesome, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'll see. I'm gonna see if I can get a different doctor to look at my foot and see what they say. But yeah, it's like right in the middle of my foot on the top and then like on the right side of my ankle. So I'm wondering if like I didn't have an arch collapse and that's why the pain is in the middle. And then because of that, in between the high arch thing, like I'm putting too much pressure on one side of my leg and that's why my ankle hurts.
Oh, without a doubt, it's all connected.
It's all connected.
It's yeah, true. When my dad got his hip surgery, the doctor said, once your knee or your hip is out of alignment, that goes all the way up to your neck. You'll have like neck pains. You could have back pains. You could have ankle pains because you're overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything is wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough too because I can't find like a comfortable position for a long time. Like I can't sit for a long time. I can't stand for a long time. Like if I'm walking, I'm fine. So like I see 2 weeks, I was fine. Mm-hmm. We were walking the whole time. And then, I mean, the panels were all short, you know, they're all less than an hour.
Yep.
So I was fine. But like even at work, like if I'm in my office and mm-hmm. I'm in there for like, I don't know, a couple hours doing whatever, like I got to stand up and walk around because I can start, you know, I can feel it. And same if I just like stand at my desk and do some work. So I don't know, man. I'm going to have to do something about it. Maybe I can just be, maybe I can just get on disability and read comics.
I like that.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I approve that.
But I don't want to do that. You know me, dude. I can't, like, not do stuff.
There goes your dancing career. Damn it.
Yep. I don't know. We'll see. So what's up on your side? What's up? I mean, I just gave you a poopy story for an hour.
I wanted to tell you because you didn't make it to I went to my favorite panel of C2E2. Let's go into C2E2.
Yeah, let's do that.
My favorite panel of C2E2 was Top Cow.
I wish you would have told me you were going to that because I wanted to go and I totally missed it. By the time I looked at my phone, the panel was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seemed to happen the entire weekend.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. Or you get excited because you see, ooh, I can make that panel. And then you click into it and it's at the sci-fi stage and it's only 15 minutes long. It's like, oh, F this. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes. Come on. But the Top Cow panel, As you well know, I just barely scratched that universe.
Yeah.
Thoroughly love mind management, and what is it, symmetry?
Yep.
And barely scratched the surface on Top Cow whatsoever. But to hear Mark Silvestri and Matt Hawkins and who is the editor-in-chief, Harry Baratis?
Yeah, I can't remember the name. Yep.
Yeah. To hear them passionately talking about their lines, their upcoming line, hearing that they're going more into, like, here's our action sci-fi universe that we're doing, as well as we have this, like, it's sort of like human sexuality lines.
Interesting. Okay.
And I don't know if they're all interconnected or not, but I guess one of the writers came up with, well, we can call this one the the perverse verse. And Matt Hawkins was like, no, I don't think that's going to really sell at the top of a comic. And like three people in the audience was like, no, that would sell at the top of a comic.
Uh-huh.
But even just to hear like how positive they are about people's alternate lifestyles, transgender, fluid gender, like, and I was just like, wow, that's so cool. So forward thinking. Matt Hawkins was even talking about going into like adult clubs, you know, like swaps, mm-hmm. you know, like partner swap type clubs. Mm-hmm. And he said a lot of them even had Top Cow comics, even though like they didn't reach out to any salesperson to get discounts or anything. They were just selling them there independently.
No kidding.
Like how like positive, like they're being, their kink is being shown in a positive light or an accurate light, mm-hmm, at least. Mm-hmm. And I just found that part fascinating. And then to hear all of their, like, their comic line that's coming out in the next, like, 3-4 months, as well as the next 1-2 years, hearing some of their pitches, oh, my God, dude, I'm like, I have to get into Top Cow. I have to be reading, and I hate to say it, like Mark, just listening, because I've never listened to Mark Silvestri. I've read plenty of his interviews, mm-hmm. but I've never really experienced Mark Silvestri in any panel, because the last 3-4 years that I've been going to C2E2, during C2E2, I would always tweet at least once or twice. I would either tweet Harry, Top Cow, or Matt asking or just stating, I wish there was a Top Cow panel. I wish Matt Hawkins was in a panel here at C2E2. And they would always, and I mean, kudos to them, they would always respond back of like, yeah, getting to Chicago is really expensive. C2E2 won't comp us anything, so it's pretty pricey to get there. Mm-hmm. And since we're in California, you know, we don't have any Midwest reps to go. So, and it's not just one person at a table. We would have to go there in force, and that's pretty expensive. And I got that for the last 3-4 years. So to actually get them in Chicago, I was freaking overwhelmed. It was so exciting to see them. Like I said, I've never heard Matt or Mark Silvestri talk in any type of a panel. And I mean, I love me some Matt Hawkins. Just even just through his Twitter timeline, I want to support him as much as possible.
Yeah, he's and the best.
I know. And to talk to like Ronnie Barron, talking to him about any Hawkins writing, because Ronnie's a hell of a lot more ingrained than I am. And just to hear glowing things from Ronnie about Matt got me even more invested than to see this panel. And Mark was just so freaking cool. I already knew Matt was cool, but to like listen to Mark Silvestri talk and how down to earth and how frank he was with freaking any, like they had an open mic there. The last like 20 minutes was questions, and how personable Mark Silvestri was, down to earth, as well as I think he knows his place in comic history pretty well, and it's not overinflated whatsoever. And to hear him just talk frankly to what artists need to do to get themselves better, get themselves known, get themselves out there. And like he said multiple times, this is not going to be an easy road, But guess what? As soon as you get into the comic book industry, it's a small industry. So if you fuck yourself over with an artist, a writer, an editor, a publisher, once you get a black mark on your record professionally, that word gets passed around pretty quickly. So it was sort of cool to hear this. And I hate to say it, like, Comixology, have a black cow sale, our Top Cow sale, because sign me up. I have to become more invested in Top Cow stuff.
Well, you do. So here's what I'll say. I think out of all the Image studios from the early era, the only one that really is still relevant is Top Cow. Because you look at, I guess McFarlane stuff, right? But McFarlane's just McFarlane.
Yeah.
Or like, it's Spawn, and that's it. Some of the other guys went away, you know, like Liefeld's not there anymore. He went and did Extreme Studios after. Jim Lee sold out. And, you know, as much as I love Wildstorm, like, I'm never going to really see that shit again, right? Because I don't think.
But also, it's purchased by DC.
Right. Well, and that's why.
Yeah. What about, wasn't America's Best Comics part of that?
Yes, but that's not around anymore.
No, sadly.
And then, you know, Kirkman came in, so he's got Skybound, and I mean, he does a lot of stuff with creators, but I mean, he kind of owns everything, sort of.
Sure.
You've got Eric still there, but Eric just does Savage Dragon, so, you know. Mm-hmm. At one point, I mean, he had more stuff at one point. Yeah. And then Valentino had a studio there. They were doing Shadowhawk and all that stuff.
Right.
But he's not doing anything either because he runs Image now. I think he's the president of Image, I think, right? Or a publisher, maybe.
Did Wiltz have his own imprint, too?
No, Wiltz worked for Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that felt.
Yeah, Wiltz worked for Jim.
Oh, before I forget, can I just throw out real quick the two best things that were said?
Yes.
Right off the bat. Henry was there. They were waiting for all of the artists and writers to file in. And his first question to the audience, raise your hands. Who purchases comics? How do you purchase your comics? Or no. Sorry. How do you read your comics? Digitally? And he had people raise their hands. Do you go to a local comic book store? People raise their hands. Do you order your comic books through DCBS or an online distribution? People raise their hands. And it's like, that was a cool, like, he wanted that takeaway. He wanted to know, like, where people stood. I thought that was really cool.
He didn't talk about numbers, did he? Like, what their breakdown is? Okay.
Cause I totally wish.
I heard through the grapevine that Top Cow actually does really well digitally.
Oh.
Really well. Like, maybe one of the higher studios.
And, the other thing? Before I lose this train, and then I want to hear about your breakdown with all the Image subtitles. The other thing, one of the artists, and I'm sorry, I completely am zoning on the dude's name, but he came through the talent search 2 years ago, and he's still with Top Cow. He's one of the artists. And when they were going through, like, giving some brief, like, back and forths, he threw out, you know, swing by my table, it's table, whatever it was, E12, and buy my products because whatever you buy at my table, I get 100% of that money. And then Mark Silvestri jumped in and he goes, or you can buy it over at the Top Cow table and he'll get 20% of that or whatever he said. He said some number and he goes, he will not be getting 100%. But I was like, that's really – I like when a creator's like, dude, if you buy that from me, I get all that money instead of a portion to Image, a portion to Top Cow, a portion to Comixology.
Yep.
I think that's cool.
They do good stuff with the talent. What do they call it? Pilot season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You got to part of the Aftershock panel.
Well, I will say the woman writer who was in the Aftershock panel.
Yes.
The panel right before that, she was part of Top Cow.
Okay.
And
she
won one of the years of the Top Cow talent searches for writers.
Yep.
Yeah. So to see her in both, I'm like, son of a bitch. I gotta follow her and I gotta read more of her shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna have her on the podcast. I, after the Aftershock panel, I talked to her.
Awesome.
Because I got to see her at my local con a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
She was in a writer's panel with Venditti, her, oh God, who else was there? Kyle Starks, which, by the way, you got to read Kyle Starks' stuff. He's fucking brilliant.
All right.
He's been doing the Rick and Morty comic for forever.
Oh, hilarious.
I don't read that. He did Rock Candy Mountain, which is like a historical fiction of the dudes that used to ride the trains. Hobos.
Okay, yeah.
Rock Candy Mountain. And then he is doing – who puts it out? I think IDW puts it out. Mars Attacks. He's writing that.
Oh, neat. Okay.
With the same artist that he used in Rock Candy Mountain. And that book is freaking awesome.
Ooh. All right.
It is awesome. And that dude is freaking hilarious. But anyways, yeah, because I had the kids and whatever at the con, I didn't talk to really anybody. Matter of fact, Venditti yelled at me. I don't know if Venditti was there.
Mm.
But he was there. And I ended up seeing him like an hour before the con was over. And he's like, I saw you at SC Comic Con a couple of weeks ago, and I'm mad because you didn't come say hi. And so I had to explain to him the story. But anyway, yeah, Stephanie's freaking awesome. She's got a book from Aftershock coming out, and from my understanding, she's got an unannounced book from Aftershock.
What's her full name for the listener?
Snap. Stephanie Phillips.
Okay, good. Good, good.
She's an English professor at the University of Buffalo.
That's so crazy.
And she's having to drop classes because she's got so much comic book work coming out.
Dude, she was so cool on the Top Cow panel.
I bet.
It was such a refreshing. Actually, all the winners, and I mean, these people were much younger than Matt and Mark, but they were cool as hell. They just fit right in. It was cool to see because, to be honest with you, even though generationally they might have been much younger, it really looked like, and I think this was the attraction for the panel for me, it really felt like everyone up there might have been a pecking order to it, but they all seemed like they were a family. You know, they were in that like they are going to fall on the sword for that company. They were in it to win it. They were all like going in the same direction. It was really cool. It was really, really neat to see.
Did Matt talk about Darkness?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Because that's coming out soon, right?
That's part of the talent search as well.
Yeah.
Because with the relaunch, they wanted the talent to take a part of the old Darkness and write it was almost like a small piece of that universe's pie. And like try, if you know of like a small underused character, develop that story and how it would fit into the Darkness relaunch.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm really cool. I'm really excited. So little known fact, I mean, here's the thing. I always talk about Wildstorm because I love Wildstorm. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But the Top Cow stuff was probably my second favorite back then.
Those compendiums are good price for as much as you get.
Matter of fact, you were saying the sales. There was a Witchblade sale recently for like nothing. Oh, wait, you know what? I think it was Humble Bundle.
Oh, okay.
They had a Top Cow Humble Bundle.
Nice.
And it had
a good cause.
Yeah, some of the Witchblade Omnibuy. But
really? Since I do want to hear about this Image offshoot publishers, because that part is a complete black hole to me, other than America's Best Comics.
Mm-hmm.
But staying on Top Cow, just give me the top three. Hey, they're having a sale. You can only buy three compendiums or three titles or whatever. What should I grab?
Of all time or like current, like currently running?
I have only read Symmetry as well as Mind Management. What the hell is that called? Mind Management's Kint. Damn it.
My management is Kint.
I know. Dang it. But I've only read like two current titles. I've never read an issue of Darkness. I've never read Witchblade. I've never read any of the, you know, the old stuff.
Gotcha. If you want to go current, Port of Earth is really good. That's Zach Kaplan.
Okay.
It's kind of Men in Blackish, but serious. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So there's like, there's a port of Earth, so a place where like all the aliens come, and that's where they have to dock. But there's like conspiracy stuff going on, like murders and like political drama. It's really freaking good.
Think Tank. That's the one.
Think Tank. Okay. Yeah, that was good.
And I've read Wildfire.
Wildfire. Wildfire.
It's the one about, I think it's like a disease.
Let me look this up right now.
It's not Top Cow, it's Image, but still.
No, that's Top Cow. I just found it. Okay, yeah, that's Linda Sayek. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah, because they had I think that might have been a sequel to Sunfire.
Okay.
I can't remember her husband's name. He's doing work at DC now, I believe. All right, so Port of Earth, really good. The current Witchblade series is really freaking good.
You told me about that.
Yeah, I want to say the lady that's writing it won that Talent Hunt thing, but I could be wrong.
And you said that's sort of new reader friendly too.
It's very new reader friendly. It's a different character from the original. It's like a detective story. But kind of like a little crime noir, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's about like police corruption and things like that. You don't even see the Witchblade till issue like 7 or 8.
Gotcha.
It's really good, really well done. That's worth picking up. Of all time.
Yes.
All time. So Cyberforce was the first one that came out, and that's been relaunched a few times. They did a Kickstarter. They've done a couple of volumes after. There were some production issues when they try to relaunch it. But I've really enjoyed all the runs. There is kind of a current run that's pretty good. It's written, I think, I don't know if Matt co-writes it or if Mark is co-writing it. But then the other co-writer is Brian Edward Hill. The guy that's going to be writing. Matter of fact, he does a lot of stuff at Top Cow. I think he was a Talent Hunt guy too. He's a television writer, so he's done some of the episodes for Titans. He wrote those. He's writing the Batman and the Outsiders book that's coming out soon.
Damn.
He did a few issues of Detective Comics. He's fantastic. He's done a ton of work over there. Matter of fact, I think he wrote Postal for a while. If Aaron's listening, he's going to yell at me. Because Aaron loves Postal. But yeah, he's done a lot of stuff over there. I think him and either Matt or Mark co-write that book. And it's pretty good. I like previous iterations better, but it's a really interesting take. I like the Cyberforce stuff that was a little more fantastical.
Okay.
So I want to say it was the previous run, and it was only like 6 issues. Matter of fact, I think you can get the first issue for free on Comixology, and the other issues are like a buck or two. It kind of ended up tying into like Generation IX and, what's that character? Aphrodite, which like took it into the far future. And there was this whole like weird mythology thing based on this like sort of cyberpunkish stuff that was set up in Cyberforce. Really, really good. I mean, the volume one of Cyberforce is, and we talked about this before, it's more of a ripoff like the X-Men. Right, so you have like a Cable type character, you have a Wolverine character in Ripclaw, but once they started reimagining things, they started shying away from some of that stuff. That's really good. I can't tell you how much I got into Top Cow for that book, and it was great. But the stuff that really had me stick around with Top Cow for the past how many years is that now? 26 years was Witchblade and Darkness.
Oh, okay. Are those books in the same universe?
Witchblade and Darkness are in the same universe. I don't remember them crossing over into anything else from Top Cow.
Gotcha. Okay.
But those two are, because they're kind of like ancient artifacts that are part of this world. Matter of fact, they did a miniseries called Artifacts that discussed the other ones, because some of them get discussed in Witchblade and Darkness, but you never see them. So they had this big crossover thing. They had this Artifacts miniseries. There were other things that came out of it. That was really good.
They were never discussed in the Darkness video game. That was the only thing I ever played. That was the only darkness I've ever known.
Or in the Witchblade TV series.
Never saw it.
I think it only ran one season, maybe two.
I was familiar with it. I just never saw it.
It was fine. It was fine. Matter of fact, I had a buddy of mine in high school, the only other person that ever taught comics to me.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the shit out of that comic. In fact, at 15, this kid had the Witchblade Gauntlet tattooed on his arm.
Jeez, that's commitment.
Yeah, like top to bottom, like down through the fingers and everything. It was fucking awesome.
Dick.
Yeah. Anyways, so Witchblade and Darkness were my jam, dude. They were jam. I mean, when Witchblade first kicked off, it was kind of one of those bad girl things. Mm-hmm. You know, so she was like half naked the whole time.
Sure.
But then Darkness was just cool, man. There was something about that character and then the little demons around them. I just loved it. I'm going to make you a promise. From now on, I'm going to quit talking about Wildstorm. And whenever I recommend you something, it'll be a Top Cat book.
Ooh. But no, don't. I want recommendations for Wildstorm, too.
Yeah. But so, yeah, Darkness was really good. It ran for forever. There were a couple of Darkness, like, Bearers of the Darkness. Towards the end, like, Phil Hester was doing the art on it. You know, I love Phil Hester.
Heck yeah.
So that was cool. And they have interesting premises, too. So, like, the Darkness, as soon as he gets a girl pregnant, he dies.
Oh, wow.
Because the Darkness force moves on to the next bear, like the next person in line.
Oh, I like that.
Anyways, super cool. Loved it. That's why I'm really excited for the relaunch of Darkness, because I've been waiting for that shit for years. They haven't done anything with that character.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like how Venditti's approaching Hawkman.
Yeah, and he plans on being there for a long time, apparently.
Because that's another sci-fi stage panel that I saw. And when he was describing all of the different versions, reincarnations, I was like, oh my God, he can do this for the next 20 years and never get bored.
Yep.
Very smart. Yep.
He's getting a new artist.
Oh yeah? Who's that?
Brian, I don't know. I didn't look it up, but Brian Hitch is leaving.
Yeah, I thought he was only there till 12.
Yeah, 12. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which that sounds a lot like the Brian Hitch that I know.
That's a long time for Brian Hitch, man.
I know.
It's a long time.
Oh my God. But you did get some sweet art from him. Every time I see a page, I'm blown away.
It's very true.
It was good Brian Hitch art.
It's very true. That's cool. What other panels did you see?
I saw a Marvel one that was forgettable. I saw I came in late for the Aftershock one. I wish I would have saw the entire one. Who else did I see? I saw Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks on the sci-fi.
Nice. Thing.
That was good. You and I saw Gene Ha do a live drawing demo. That
he was great. Good. I'd never talked to Gene Ha.
Mm-hmm.
I never see him speak at a convention. So that was cool. He seems like a really smart guy.
Yeah, definitely. And it sort of made me want to see more of those drawing, talking. Like, he certainly got a lot done drawing-wise in that half hour.
Mm-hmm.
But he also answered and was very pleasant. Like, he had pleasant stories. He wasn't so fixated on the drawing that his answers were sort of flat.
Yeah.
He was very engaged in the entire experience, which was pretty impressive.
So I had seen one. I saw at Heroes, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. At Heroes, I saw the Lee Weeks and Garcia Lopez.
Ooh.
Live draw Q&A, and that was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
That was amazing. That's cool. Yeah, I only did, I saw the Gene Ha and I did Aftershock and I did the Valiant panel and that's it.
They had a panel?
They did.
Oh, nice.
They did. It was interesting. Who was at the panel? Cullen Bunn. Oh God, what's her name? I can't remember her name, but, Tinny Howard. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She is very charismatic.
Also, yeah, Marvel's very own.
Fantastic writer.
Mm-hmm.
Go pick up Euthanauts from Black Crown.
I also was at that panel for a good 10 minutes, and then I had to back out.
Gotcha. Fair enough. That was interesting. Well, we might be discussing that on the next episode of the Valiant Central podcast.
What?
Coming soon.
That is relaunching?
Maybe.
Or is this just a special episode?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
What was the inspiration for this?
I'm going to blame it on Duan.
Is Paul part of this Valiant Central relaunch?
He is not.
Has he been consulted about this relaunch?
He has not.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, I will say I sort of miss hearing about the Valiant universe.
We'll see what happens.
Just saying.
We'll see what happens.
Because I went into that panel and without any audio visual aids.
Yeah, that was rough.
Everyone was talking Chinese to me. Who are these characters that they're even mentioning? Because they were going pretty on new characters, and I had no clue what they were talking about.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of interesting stuff, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think out of the stuff that was discussed, the only character that was pre-existing was the one that Tinny's writing, which is the Forgotten Queen. I think issue 2 is about to come out. Okay. That was Warmonger from terrible Unity arc. But the character's interesting, and she's doing a really cool job with it. And then Punk Mambo, which Cullen Bunn's writing.
Yep, I missed that.
I'm excited for that, because that book's got Adam Gorham on art, and I've loved Adam Gorham for years and years and years. Matter of fact, I need to hit Adam up. I just thought about that. All right, we can't talk about that now. Anyways, right. I was going to buy a piece of art from him a couple years ago, and I ended up not doing it, but I think I might now, if he still has it. So, nice. Yes. So that was good. I will tell you, I needed like at least another 3 days to do the full con.
What?
Yeah. I started an Artist Alley aisle Z.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that's never been, it goes A through Z. I started at Z. By Sunday afternoon, I got through aisle P.
Oh my God. And why was that? What was your focus during that weekend?
So part of the problem was that I spent 6 hours at an art booth.
An art dealer booth.
And spent way too much money.
And was that your focus?
It was
or
not.
Or did you just accidentally see some of the art, saw the prices, and was like, that's a place I need to spend more time at?
Basically.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what drew your eye to whatever you purchased? Strictly price, or was it one of those, oh my God, so, this is a piece by so-and-so thought I would be able to own?
I guess we can talk about that. So I think it was maybe when we were first coming in on Saturday. We left a little later than everybody else. Everybody else left early for some reason. I mean, the lines were great this year, I thought. I mean, they were really long, but I think they got in people faster than in previous years.
My only issue, you didn't have this issue, I did, driving in. My only issue was you have to get there early enough. There's three big parking garages.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is right across the street.
Yep.
And you never have to exit a building. You are across the street, but there's a indoor bridge that you can walk across. So that, of course, is ideal, but that one also fills up with artists, writers, and people who are doing the tables pretty quick before even the doors open up. That's usually gone, full to capacity. So then you're left with parking lot B, parking lot C, and the further B is sort of close, C is pretty far away.
Mm-hmm.
And those three parking lots can fill up pretty quick.
Yes.
And it's not like it has an electric sensor to let people know this parking lot's full. Oh no, three cars just left. There's three spots available.
Mm-hmm.
They just put up a horse, a wood horse, and just say full. you know, move to parking lot B or parking lot C. And they never really monitor that. So once these parking lot, like while I'm driving in, 2 years ago, I came in late and the digital sign read parking lot A and B sold out or full. Go to parking lot C, get off on this exit and go to parking lot C. And when, if you go too late, then all three will say full. So I get a, I get very nervous, like, where the hell, how am I going to get a parking spot? Oh shit. And on Saturday, even getting there early, staying in my car, going in 45 minutes late after they already opened up the lines, and I was still stuck in a mother effing line that must have been 800, 1,000 people deep. Freaking crazy. So you guys Ubering it over as late as you possibly want to and just walking straight in, that's the way to do it.
It's great.
Yeah, color me jealous.
It's great. Matter of fact, you should have just driven to where we stayed at and just Ubered with us.
I didn't know if there was any parking spots. Next year, let me know if there's any parking spots.
Yeah, I'll let you know. We talked about, so the last of us there was Duan, Travis, and I. And Duan wasn't going back to Ohio till Monday, so he actually got a hotel room for Sunday night. He stayed, I think, at the Hyatt, right around the corner from C2E2. Really cheap, by the way.
And I heard that that's connected to C2E2 too.
Oh, is it?
Thought so.
It might be, because I think there's three hotels next to each other, and they're all connected together. So it might be. But it was, I mean, it was like two blocks away. Gotcha. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes next year.
But isn't it nice to get your Airbnb though? Because it's a lot bigger, isn't it?
Oh yeah, than much
just
bigger.
A dumb hotel room.
Yeah, it's much bigger.
But see, this is why I would need you to be like, dude, there's plenty of parking around here. Because like my parking was between 25 and 35 each day.
Oof.
And if I could know that, oh, there's a lot right across the street, it'll cost you $15 and then you can Uber over with us. Hell yeah, I would be doing that. But to go to your Airbnb in the city of Chicago and find a parking spot on the weekend, that's a fucking needle in a haystack. That's why, like when I told you guys to go to Fulton Market, I'm like, take an Uber. Do not drive.
Yeah.
Not on a Friday night or a Thursday night. Oh my God.
Well, the thing was, I didn't know there was going to be that. Like, we asked Dennis and he's like, yeah, they said plenty of parking. I was like, what's plenty of parking? You know what I mean? Go to Chicago. And looking at the pictures, it looks like it'd be like sidewalk parking, right? Like curbside. But I don't know how much like plenty of parking would mean. There was literally plenty of parking.
Or is it plenty of parking, but it's permit parking?
Right. Yeah. Well, this is not permit parking. It was a townhome on South King. And so you have the main road in the middle. Whatever it is, two lanes each way or three lanes each way. And then there's houses on each side. Well, there's a sidewalk in between the main Martin Luther King Drive, and there's like a little service road in front of all these houses. So you could park on either side of this road. And there's literally no traffic because the only people going through that road are people that live in that area.
Wow, that's convenient.
Yeah, it was nice.
Nice.
It was nice.
And how was the Airbnb?
Oh, it was great.
Okay.
It was great. I mean, you know, three beds for 10 dudes.
Ooh.
But there's plenty of space because there's like this giant wraparound couch. People brought air mattresses. So yeah, there's plenty of room.
Gotcha.
Plenty of room. And of course, I didn't hog the bed. Like I slept there the first night because I drove a long time. But the second night, I was like, whoever wants the bed can just fucking take it. I'll sleep on the couch. It doesn't bother me. So Saturday when we came in, we're trying to round up some people, and I saw Travis and Dennis at this booth, and they were looking through some stuff, and I saw this page from Exo Manowar, which is mostly Solar, Men of the Atom, and I really liked it, and I looked at the price, and it was dirt cheap, and I was like, well, shit, I'm gonna need to get that. remember, I had no plans for this con.
I know.
So it was whatever.
You didn't even bring a backpack or anything to carry anything.
Nothing.
Right.
So I started flipping some of the books, and I was like, man, this is some good stuff. And I just started flipping.
And this dealer does not come by you?
Not that I know of.
Gotcha.
He's from Jersey, I believe.
Because when I was there at that person's booth, there were two people that you guys were talking to, and neither one of them seemed like they could even care to like give you any customer service. And I know that just itches you the wrong way.
I don't know which ones you're talking about because I dealt with those two girls all day.
Okay. No, one was a girl, one was a guy.
Okay. Yeah. The guys I didn't see the entire time. I mean, like they would come by because they were on the other side of the booth.
Gotcha.
By the side that we were on, it was two girls. One's from Chicago. And she's an art collector, so she's just helping out at the booth.
Thanks.
And the other girl actually works for him. Nice. They were both super friendly, because I'd be like, hey, do you have this? And they'd be like, yeah, I'll look. And they'd be looking, so they were great. Matter of fact, the one girl that didn't work for him, that was just there helping out, she and I talked about Norm Breyfogle for like an hour.
Yes.
Because apparently she got this beautiful, beautiful page by Breyfogle is Batman and Catwoman.
Ooh.
So she told me the whole story about how she met Norm and all this stuff. And I was like, that's the one regret that I have is not going to conventions when Norm was still around. Cause I would have loved to talk to Norm.
Definitely.
But yeah, so we chatted about that for a while. And, mm-hmm. and that's when she brought out the Breyfogle books. So I had to look through those. So.
Any tickle your pickle?
Yes. I ended up not buying any of them.
What?
Yes. Number one, because it wasn't like a page where I'm like, somebody's going to buy this. I have to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I was going to try to do like a few at a time. Then I can get a better deal.
Right. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Go on.
But basically I flipped through, I don't know, probably about 20 boxes of books of pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably flipped through 200 books.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was there for like 6 hours.
Whew.
I was basically Saturday, 80% of my time was spent at this booth. it was funny because the guy came in, the guy came in and he's like, you're still here? And I was like, yeah, I'm still looking through stuff. He's like,
I got a lot of things I'm interested in.
He's like, did you buy anything? I said, yeah, I got a stack over there. He's like, okay. I mean, I'm sure people like just flip through books. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure that happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, I found that page and then, I was flipping through and I found, this, double page, layout from Authority.
Ooh.
Who
did it?
Oh God. I don't have it in here.
Dang it.
What book was it? Authority. The Lost Year, I think.
Oh, Gene Ha did that. Or he did the covers.
He did the covers, but not the interior.
Okay.
Maybe it was Gene Ha.
Damn you.
I have to look at the page again. I can't remember.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a double page spread. And it's layout, so it's not all finished art.
Sure.
Like, the first page is basically finished, and it's inked. And the second page is kind of like half that. But it's cool, because it's two pages side by side, and it's got the entire team. So,
ooh,
like, on the borders, it has all the faces of all the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like, this action sequence in the middle. It's really cool.
Nice.
I got that. I found this book of color proofs. So, like, after the colorist colors the art before they send it to the publisher. So I found these color proofs. And I found the Spider-Man thing, and I was like, I'll flip through it. I'm not a big Spidey guy. But I saw a couple. I only ended up buying one that's got the Vulture in it. It's got Vulture in the middle and then Spidey on the bottom left-hand corner. And I'm not a big Spidey guy, but I thought it was a fucking awesome-looking pose for Vulture. So I bought that.
You did share that page with me, and that was a pretty dynamic damn page.
And the colors are gorgeous.
Yes, for sure.
And then I was looking at a couple of Carnage ones, which I may end up getting later. I haven't decided yet. I got that. I got a page from Uncanny Inhumans number one.
Yes.
Which is Black Bolt and Kong the Conqueror. So, of course, I had to have it.
By Steve McNiven.
Yep, Steve McNiven.
Which looked like classic Steve McNiven.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, great call on that one. Kang, of course.
Kang. I had a color-proof. This one was funny. I went on his website and I saw it. And so the next day I went back to the booth and I was like, listen, I found this on your website last night, but I haven't seen it. So if you know where it's at, I'll buy it. If not, whatever. Because it's off of Star Trek X-Men.
Ooh.
There's not a Star Trek character on the page, but it's got Kang the Conqueror flying in from the top left. And then you have the X-Men team on the bottom, kind of like shuffling to escape or whatever. Dang. Fucking awesome looking page. So I got that.
I want to see that one.
I thought I posted that on Twitter. Maybe not. I'll have to look. I got that. I'm working out a deal. So there's a few Prime pages that I want to get. Known Brave Fogle Art. There's a few Prime pages, which he has. And he's holding for me because I found on his website and they didn't have it at the booth. And he hasn't found it yet.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it because, I mean, he probably just got back to Jersey. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But there is a Bill Sienkiewicz Moon Knight page that I want to buy from him. So
That's a rainbow unicorn right there.
Yeah. So I tell him when he finds it.
Where do you ever see his, especially Moon Knight? Holy Christ.
No kidding.
Out in the wild.
No kidding. And I can't remember what
issue
it was.
Does it have Moon Knight in it?
Yes.
Or? Gee.
Yeah, on the bottom panel. And it's kind of like one of those Batman poses, you know, where, like Batman used to flip his cape and like half cover his face.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of pose.
Oh my.
So he's looking for that page for me. So when he finds it, I'm going to buy that page and then these Prime pages.
Hell yeah.
And if the price is good, there is an Esad Ribic Moon Knight character design page.
Oh, Jiminy.
That I want.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So my plan was not to buy anything this weekend, and I bought all the things this weekend. Oh, I also bought a CGC copy of Solar Man of the Atom #1 from Gold Key Comics.
Oh my.
I don't understand how that whole thing happened.
I was going to say, what inspired that purchase?
I've wanted one for a long time, cause I have a full run of all the Valiant stuff and all the IDW stuff. IDW? Dynamite. Dynamite stuff. And I do have a chunk of the Gold Key books. Nothing early. But we went to this booth and Travis was looking at something. I think Travis bought a book there. And Duan bought something from there. I can't remember what it was, but it was fucking cool looking. And I was looking up. And, oh God, what book did I see? I saw some book and I was like, I want to take a look at this one because I was interested in buying it. He brought it down and looked at it. But he didn't want to budge on the price. I was like, eh, whatever. And then I saw he had two Solar Man of the Atoms right next to it. And I was like, let me see the Solar. So I looked at it and I was talking to Duan. I was like, man, I'm thinking about buying this, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, see if it'll come down in price. And so as he's doing that, Travis looks up the price online and it wasn't anywhere near what this guy wanted. And so just out of the blue, I threw it out. I was like, I'll give you this much for it, which was about the price that we found it online.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, I don't know if I can do that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, it's up to you. I mean, I'll buy it right now for this price if you're willing to go down to it. I was like, it's Sunday. I'll take it off your hands. He's like, I don't know. So I was like, all right, that's fine. So I'm about to walk off. I give him the book. He goes to put it back. And the other guy at the booth was there. I'm assuming the owner.
Right.
And he's like, you wanted to buy this book? I said, yeah. I was like, but I'm only going to pay this much for it. And he's like, man, I don't know. I was like, that's fine. So I started to walk off. He's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. I was like, sweet. So I got a good chunk off of the price that they wanted off of it.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Yep. It was good times.
Who owns the rights to those Gold Keys?
DreamWorks Entertainment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would love to see a coffee table book of the covers.
Oh, no kidding. Dude, those old sci-fi covers from like the 50s and 60s? Holy shit. And the Gold Key covers, the Gold Key covers are all amazing.
Yeah.
They're all amazing. I think, weren't they, I think they were hand-painted, right?
They all look like they're hand-painted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times, man.
Mm-hmm. Man, you just came out. Wow, your trunk must have been over full. So good. I love it. Uh-huh. I'm jealous.
Uh-huh. Now I gotta see where I'm going to put them up in my studio.
Yes.
I got to buy some frames and whatever.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so great. That is a success, and I don't ever remember seeing that original page guy there.
Yeah, I've never looked at art dealer booths before.
But some of the stuff you were showing me, as well as Jay and Dennis, I was shocked and amazed at the prices.
Yeah, there were some really good prices.
As well as, like I was telling Dennis, like, I love whoever. I love the Beetle, and I would love to get a page with, you know, the Prowler and Spider-Man, or the Beetle and Spider-Man. But those pages cost so much more, especially because, Spider-Man's on the page, so now I'm going to jack up the price three times too much.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even look at the Batman books.
I know, but it seemed like a lot of those pages, if they were smallerish books, you could get the principal characters on the page, and it would be very reasonable priced.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Spider-Man, but guess what? You can find them in some, you know, smaller book. If you were interested in Spider-Man or, you know, a villain of some sort, which is the way to do it. But I'm sure you'd have to be like what you did. You'd have to spend 4-6 hours there going through everything.
Dude, and I only went through like a quarter of the booth.
Sheesh. How was it checking out their site online?
It's good because you can do a character search.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And will it pull up even, like, the third-party books that they show up in?
I mean, I guess.
Like Kang with Star Trek.
Yeah, I went on the site, and I put in, like, Kang, and it's, like, 10 different pages on there. I was like, huh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. And some you wouldn't even expect, like that Star Trek X-Men, whatever the hell it was.
Hell yeah.
But you're right. He really did have good prices.
Yeah.
Like that that McNiven page. I'll tell you what I paid for it later.
That shouldn't even be in the ballpark.
It was cheap.
But especially with those characters.
Yeah.
What Inhuman page wouldn't you want? Like, you got main characters on that page as well as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the first issue.
And it is cool, dude. It's like it looks like a Western showdown. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful page.
Yep.
And I even went through the Sal and John Buscema book that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, there was no, like, okay, there could be a Conan page. And do you get full-blown Conan, you know, ripping shit up? No. But you could get a secondary character, and the price was very reasonable. And guess what? You're getting John or Sal Buscema. Like, come on!
Damn, now that you say that, I gotta email the guy. There is a Barry Windsor Smith Conan page in one of those books.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
And it was awesome. It looks like it might have even been a cover. But with the price that he wanted for it, I don't know. It may not have been.
How could that be a cover? Yeah.
Yeah.
So nuts.
Yeah. Anyways.
Every once in a while, you know, that pays off.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I like your policy about bundling. Because I think you would get a better break if you were bundling.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Let's wrap it up for today.
Hey, I just want to throw out, before we wrap it up, I want to throw out to our loyal listener, Ronnie Barron.
Mm.
I wanted to thank him. He heard us chit-chatting, and I brought up the Amazing Spider-Man, I Would Be Good Deal. And he went out and purchased me said issue with the big wheel. And presented it to me at C2E2, which freaking blew me away. I can't wait to read it. I'll be reading it this weekend. And that really hit home. That meant a lot, especially with the crap I'm going through now. That was very cool to do. As well as Mr. Dewan sent me a gift, probably a couple weeks ago. But he guised it under my favorite young lady.
Yes.
And I didn't even, I just got this wonderful gift via an email, and it just said from Rosario, the real Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
And I had no freaking clue who that was until Juan came up and he said, "Did you ever get a gift from Rosario Dawson?" And I'm like, "Wait, that was you?"
Uh-huh. So, yeah, he told me about that. I thought that was hilarious. It's very awesome, though.
It was hilarious, and I certainly not, I'm not deserving of it, but it really, it touched me. Actually seeing everybody at C2E2, it was very humbling and wonderful to touch base with everyone there, as well as make new friends. Mm-hmm. Meet Mike Myers for the first time, mm-hmm. Meet Travis for the first time. It was fantastic to see everyone.
I agree. And if I didn't get to see you, then my apologies. I'm a terrible person.
Ditto. But you were also very drunk every night, so you couldn't see everybody.
Every night? You mean from like 9 a.m. till midnight?
That's true. That's true. Revolution Beer thanks you for supporting them all weekend.
Yeah, that was my wife's first question when I got home. She said, how many beers did you drink? I said, well, you saw the bill, because I put those on my debit card.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I said, you saw the bill.
Every bill, it was like $8, $8, $8, $8.
She's like, oh, so that was all the, no, it was $11. She's like, that's all the $11 charges? I said, yep. She said, that's a lot of beers. I said, yep.
She's like, don't judge me, woman. My mm-hmm. keto goes back on back this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm already on it.
Good.
I'm already on it.
Did you have any spillovers?
I didn't eat anything yesterday.
I mean jumping off your keto diet while you're in Chicago. Were you feeling it? Did you get any bends or anything?
Nope.
Good.
Nope. But it definitely didn't help that I was drinking. Or maybe it did help that I was drinking.
You forgot all about it.
Yeah, I didn't realize. But yeah, I felt like shit on Monday. So yesterday I didn't eat anything. I just drank water all day.
Jeez.
Yeah. That way I figure I can clean out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, get back on the horse now.
But, now I don't have to drink till next year C2E2, so it's fine.
Your liver will recover by then.
Yeah, 1 year? Pff, it's plenty of time.
Can you, okay, before we wrap it up, and I certainly have to let you go because you have a job to do. I don't. What the F is up with C2E2 pushing their con 2 or 3 weeks earlier next year?
February 28th through March 1st, 2020. I'll be there.
There's going to be snow on the ground. I guarantee
it. Oh, for sure.
That's why I don't even know if you want to drive. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Flying, you might completely get screwed, but driving, you're definitely going to get screwed. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so much lake effect snow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with they schedule it around everything else. You know what I mean?
I know.
So if some of the big cons scheduled in March, they're not going to schedule in March.
Yeah,
Celebrations
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then once you get to April and May, you have like, WonderCon or Emerald City, I think.
Yeah.
You got Heroes, and then you're prepping for San Diego. So, yeah. They probably had no choice but to do that.
Oh, it's just going to be so freaking cold. Holy Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for those cosplayers. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't wear a jacket, so it doesn't matter to me.
I know. You're one of the cool kids.
Baller.
Yes.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. Thank you all for listening to, what show is this?
The Nerdy Legion with Martin Ferretti.
The Nerdy Legion podcast.
Co-host Nick Wetmore.
With Nick Wetmore. Oh, God. I have been your moderator, Martin Ferretti. Thanks for listening. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. We'll continue the saga of the poopy, whatever we called it, next time.
What would Bruce Wayne do?